Good morning. You are welcome to our service on this, our first most beautiful day of the year. Welcome to all who are joining us on our webcam and to those listening to us through the recordings page on our website. My name is Gavin Byrne and I'm the minister of this congregation. So let us begin our weekly gathering of prayer, worship and companionship with words from Sophia Foss. It matters what we believe. Some beliefs are like walled gardens. They encourage exclusiveness and the feeling of being especially privileged. Other beliefs are expansive and lead the way into wider and deeper sympathies. Some beliefs are like shadows, clouding children's days with fears of unknown calamities. Other beliefs are like sunshine, blessing children with the warmth of happiness. Some beliefs are divisive, separating the saved from the unsaved, friends from enemies. Other beliefs are bonds in a world community where sincere differences beautify the pattern. Some beliefs are like blunders, shutting off the power to choose one's own direction. Other beliefs are like gateways, opening wide vistas for exploration. Some beliefs weaken a person's selfhood. They blight the growth of resourcefulness. Other beliefs nurture self-confidence and enrich the feeling of personal worth. Some beliefs are rigid, the body of death, impotent in a changing world, where other beliefs are pliable, like the young sapling ever growing with the upward thrust of life. We'll now light our chalice, symbol of our free Unitarian faith. As Unitarians, we are people seeking truth, meaning, love, and deep connection. As we seek to discern our path, may we follow the guidance of our hearts. May our hearts be open to unexpected truths. May our chalice flame remind us to welcome all the truth of our lives, to welcome each other into the beloved community of love and compassion. This morning, let us pray for peace and justice in our world with a peacemaking prayer. Let us pray. The history is complex, the politics are intense, the fear and anger are overwhelming, and the future is unclear. But glimpses of a hopeful vision will not be bombed into oblivion by anyone. In prayer now, we call to mind the peacemakers, neighbors of differing faiths with different histories, with different politics, and with different emotions, who find room for each other in their hearts, in their dreams, and in their lives. Those who hold firmly to a vision of peace and justice anywhere in the world, but especially today, in Ukraine, Sudan, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Iran, and the United States of America. So let us now open our hymn books to hymn number 12, O life that maketh all things new. Mm-hmm. Our first reading will be read now by Andy.
Good morning. I thought with Iran so much in the news, I would read a famous poem by the great Persian Sufi poet, Zumi. Many of you will know this poem, and it's a short poem, so I'm going to read it twice. It's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
So I have a story for children of all ages. It's a very short story, and it's with thanks to Reverend Bill Darlison, one-time minister of this church. And it's called The Rose and the Oak Tree. An oak tree had been growing in the garden for over half a century, and it had been pretty happy with its situation. But when a nearby rose began to bloom in the summer, the oak tree became jealous. "Look at that lovely rose," the oak tree said. "The dew glistens on its beautiful pink petals, and everyone who passes by admires it. But look at me. I'm just the usual dirty brown color with a few green leaves. How I wish I could be like that beautiful rose so that people wouldn't ignore me." The rose heard the oak tree's wish. Now, it had been secretly impressed by the tree's great height and strength. "I'll change places with you for a day, if you like," said the rose. "Let's ask the garden spirits if they can arrange it." Now, the garden spirits were only too glad to help, and the rose and the oak changed places. Each of them was delighted with their new appearance. Now, later that morning, the gardener came and cut the rose to decorate the table for dinner. The rose and the oak tree. The poor oak tree. Okay, got it. So let us sing now hymn number 83, Winds Be Still. My reading this morning is by Michael Allured, minister at Golders Green Unitarian Chapel. And it's called Unlocking a Soul's Potential. The novelist E.M. Forster famously wrote, "Only connect." the capacity to reach out and form relationships with other people, animals, music, art, and the natural world of which we are all part, is an essential human need. We yearn to belong, to fit in, to be of use. That overwhelming desire takes us along all manner of paths, some life-enhancing, others less so. Some of us spend our whole lives struggling to make those longed-for connections. We search for them as we endeavor to shape our lives by trying to find out who we are and what we're meant to do with our lives, and why we are here on this breathtakingly beautiful, awe-inspiring, yet bloodied, bruised, and aching planet Earth. As we make those connections through life, we discover that some are nourishing and help us to blossom, while others drain our spirit and lead us down less healthy paths. Yet, whether the connections that human beings make are life-enhancing or not, the overwhelming need to be wanted is the feeling that most of us live for. So many of the connections that I myself have made have been life-enhancing. I wonder how many of those connections can be explained by luck, being in the right place at the right time, or by the extent to which, if we believe in such a thing, destiny played a part in them. As a child, I never really fitted in, and that made me wary and fearful of rejection by the fellow human beings in my immediate world and in the world at large. I was resigned to leading a solitary and lonely life, and I rarely thought about the future. My main mode of survival was to face the next hurdle as best I could. And one Monday in March 1984, the cancellation of my university lecture led me to the canteen and a four-hour conversation over coffee with my now husband. I didn't know it then, but as I look back, I see this chance meeting was the key to my life path. It was the life event that made possible many other subsequent experiences, including discovering Unitarianism at first hand, and achievements that have been full of meaning and purpose. Some days I still find myself searching for identity and life's meaning and purpose. But I have an anchor, and that makes all the difference. Unlocking a soul's potential. Our reflection this morning is called Simple Amida. The Amida is the core of every Jewish worship service, and it is also referred to as the prayer. I open my mouth in astonishment. Praises fall forth with my every breath. I bless that I am not the first, nor shall I be the last, to wonder under the stars that everything is. I bless that everything is, and that I am part of it all. I bless that no one has any final answers, and that no name can be the final name for ultimacy. I bless that it's possible to let fresh insight displace convention. I bless that it will still be possible on my deathbed to grow deeper. I bless that only the painful work of forgiveness allows for any real joy in this life. I bless that what is fractured still dares to dream of wholeness. I bless that there is enough to go around if we give, not grab. I bless that distance can usually give way to intimacy. I bless that justice is only just if it transforms me as well as the world outside me. I bless that the good are not those who strive to do good, but those who allow their hearts to be vulnerable to the inherent dignity of others. I bless that peace can never be declared impossible, even in the Middle East. I bless that ruined cities and ruined lives can often be rebuilt. I bless that prayers like this are not foolish incantations, but invitations to bless, to question and praise as often as possible. I bless that there is no place in the whole universe that is not as sacred as any temple. I bless that my breathing can be a kind of thanking. I bless the peace that takes nourishment at the breast of justice. I bless that both singing and silence are possible.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. So what do we mean by nourishing the soul? What do we mean by the soul? You might remember I talked about the soul a while ago, and I said, though the soul can feel mysterious, it is something we experience in the depth of being alive. Whether in places of conflict or hardship or comfort or joy or love, we nourish our souls when we are mindful in our lives, mindful right now, mindful in the present moment. Human beings have always searched for meaning. I myself am not content to believe that life is merely biological. Perhaps you may share my sense that there is something deeper, an essence at the core of who we are. And this essence goes beyond identity or background or achievements. It is the fundamental, unchanging part of ourselves. And many traditions speak of this. In Latin, anima. In Greek, psyche. In Hebrew, nefesh. In Islam, nafs, or ruah. And in Irish, anam. All pointing to breath, to life itself. In Confucian thought, this essence is described as qi, a vital energy flowing through all things, connecting the human with nature and the divine. And rather than locating meaning somewhere distant, like God way up there in heaven, this view invites us to be attentive to one another, to society, and to the world around us. In this sense, the soul is not separate. It is relationship. It is expressed in empathy, in connection, and in love. Now, different traditions understand this soul differently. Christianity often sees it as eternal and life-giving. Buddhism challenges the idea of a permanent self, teaching that attachment to it can lead to suffering. Yet both point us inward to the state of our hearts and minds as the source of peace or the source of unrest. We are physical entities, our lives are intensely physical, but we are people with passions, with emotions, with talents. Unitarians celebrate our freedom. We are free spirits, they say, not tied to any creeds or dogmas. And this we have chosen. We do not contract out the development of our spiritual lives to one teacher, one priest, one institution, or indeed one book. I have a fundamental need to find meaning and purpose in my life, to connect to that deeper part of myself. And I think that's nourishing the soul. There's stuff we need to talk about and explore in greater depth. And I really do hope we get the chance to do that at gatherings like this, our Sunday gathering. Now, we often hear people describe themselves as spiritual rather than religious. And I think Andrei Sakharov, the Soviet physicist and human rights campaigner, spoke in a very interesting way to this idea. He said, "I am unable to imagine the universe and human life without some guiding principle, without a source of spiritual warmth, which is non-material and not bound by physical laws." He's sounding very much like Einstein, who often discussed a cosmic religious feeling. Now, Sakharov in his early life was instrumental in developing the Soviet hydrogen bomb, but he became one of his generation's most prominent dissidents and human rights campaigner. And he didn't say, I believe in a universal guiding principle. He said, I am unable to imagine a world without one. Sakharov's worldview was rooted in scientific inquiry, high moral principles, and a belief in the power of human reason and spirit. Sakharov was an atheist who did not believe in a personal God or traditional religion, but he held deeply philosophical, almost spiritual beliefs in that guiding principle governing the universe, spiritual warmth. Nourishing the soul means taking in your experience of your humanity, love, fear, grief, joy. It has to do with reflecting on those experiences. It has to do with deepening our spiritual practice to the end that we deepen our connections to each other, to the created world, and perhaps to that which we believe divine or sacred. Our physicality, with all its challenges, disabilities, bits not working properly, bits that seem broken and hopefully healing, needing medication and a good diet, is the holder of our souls. It is through our bodies that we experience the beauty and compassion of the world. It is through our bodies that we bless the world with love. It is through our bodies that we give and receive grace and goodness. So may our bodies be blessed, known deeply in our souls. But if our lives are marked with suffering, ongoing suffering, how is it with our souls then? When I last spoke about the soul, I referenced Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, he held that the ability to flourish depends first on meeting basic needs, food, safety, belonging, and dignity. Without these, the soul is strained. War, poverty, inequality are not only physical crises, they are soul-destroying. And nothing threatens freedom of the personality and the meaning of life like war, like poverty and terror. Nourishing the soul, therefore, is not only personal, it is communal. It requires a commitment to justice, to compassion, and to care for one another. We thrive in connection, not isolation. Communities, families, and social support help restore what is broken and enable people to grow to their full potential. And ultimately, the soul may be expressed in our longing for beauty, for truth, and for love. It is revealed in compassion for people, for nature, for life itself. And to nourish the soul is to care for the whole person and build a world where every person can flourish. We are here today at our core a spiritual community, and engaging in spiritual practice nourishes the soul. I think it's worth repeating the definition I offered for spirituality. It is to examine, shape, and care for your life and the life around you. And we do this in order to achieve more wholeness, satisfaction, depth, and meaning. And as you examine, shape, or care for your life, you are engaging in spiritual practice. You are nourishing your soul. We look within to care without. We love within to offer love without. And we treat within as we treat without. But how do we know if our souls are in trouble? What risky behavior do we engage in? And do we know what risks the health of our souls? Perhaps it is a daily cycle of disbelief, disassociation, and helplessness which grinds down the health of our souls. We open up our phones, our tablets, or newspapers in the morning, only to read what seems like an apocalypse. Then just go to work, put on the kettle, feed the dog, do the kids' lunches, get on with the day. Then that evening you check if the world is still hurtling towards its end. Every morning I check in with myself before opening those papers. I acknowledge how I'm feeling, well rested or otherwise. Remember all that is good in my life, thankful for that. Smile for a moment, take a deep breath and face the day with the belief that there are blessings to be had and to be given. I do put my faith in something beyond myself. I know that I am blessed to be part of something greater than me, be it my family, the community, and this universe. And when tragedy and grief visit me, I will struggle and question, what will I do now? And I trust that I will not be left alone with that question, that there will be others who will hold me lovingly. There is birth. There is death. We are in the in-between. May we seek to reduce all that causes us stress, understanding that life is an ebb and flow, a cycle of growth and becoming, and constant change. Nothing ever remains the same, yet nothing is really lost. So let us daily commit to life, letting the deepest part of ourselves, our souls, grow. I'll leave you now with a question. And put yourself in one of these situations. You're at home, by the fire, not today, reading a great book, or waiting for chocolate chip cookies to finish baking in the oven. Or you're planting seeds in a pot, getting ready for May. All the time you're halfway through listening to some beautiful music. Your phone buzzes and disturbs your peace. It's an urgent message. The Messiah, or the one who will have an answer to all of your ultimate questions, has come and will appear on the main street to meet the people in a few minutes. What will you do? Will I finish this address? Will you finish the chapter of that great book you're reading? Will you wait for the cookies to finish baking? Will you finish planting the seeds in the pot, all the while waiting for that beautiful piece of music to play its final note? Or will you drop everything and head out to meet this Messiah? So as you gather your thoughts, please turn to your neighbor and tell them what you would do before we sing our next hymn. So now that we have maybe made a decision, I would certainly finish my address, which I have done. So let us sing now hymn number 301, Touch the Earth, Reach the Sky, after which we will have the collection. Firstly, thank you to everyone who contributed to our service this morning. Our weekly service of reflection in the church is led by Pam every Wednesday from 1:05 p.m. for 30 minutes. You can access these sessions live on our webcam. Our annual plant sale will be on Sunday, the 10th of May, downstairs after the service, and all proceeds will go towards Christian Aid. Daria asked me to bring to your attention a study pilgrimage to the Unitarian beginnings and heritage in Poland. It's at the end of May, so if you want any information, I have a sheet here and you can speak to Daria. Finally, our congregational AGM will be directly after this service, so we ask that you head downstairs immediately for your tea and coffee, bring it back upstairs in time for our meeting. Voting members are asked to sign and receive your voting card at the back there. All are welcome to our AGM. You don't need to be a member or a voting member to be at our AGM. And now let us sing our final hymn, 115, God of Grace and God of Glory. Let us pray. Spirit of life, known to us in beginnings and endings, in possibilities and promises, we give thanks for all that has led to this moment and all that is yet to come. We give thanks to those who taught us, the women and men in our lives who were our teachers, who said the turning words of encouragement when we needed them the most. We give thanks for this community that has seen and embraced so much change, and for all of those who have sustained us for many years past and for generations to come. May the words we speak and the dreams we share always inspire and encourage. May the faith we have found here grant us wisdom, comfort, and courage for all the days ahead. Amen.